Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Shantae Out Loud. It's me, Shantae Out Loud, and I want to start by thanking everyone for all of your kind words regarding 2 weeks ago's podcast on intentions. That podcast flowed out of me like I really don't know. I was actually told by one of my friends that it sounded like I was like doing some self-healing as I was recording that, and I absolutely was. That's a great episode. So if you haven't heard it, I would recommend going back and listening. But today I wanted to speak about being alone. I guess this has kind of been building for me to talk about because I am personally going through a time of great solitude within my personal life. I have almost completely, and I've said this here before, boxed myself in, and I've maybe talked to like 12 people total on a regular basis. I think we need to talk about being alone because this is another one of those lessons that all humans have to, at some point or another in their lives, come to terms with. What does it mean to be alone? What is it like to feel alone? What is the difference between being alone and being lonely? And what to do when you're presented with times in your life when you feel like you are alone or you are in a situation where you have to be alone. And I think that there are times within our lives that call for us to be on a more solitary tip. I think especially in our 20s, we kind of have to learn that lesson that being with everyone really isn't it. And those of us who learn that lesson sooner, I think we fare better later in life, particularly when we have those times where we are called to live in solitary, not confinement, but you know what I mean. It's interesting because for me personally, I am an only child. I have spent my entire almost 26 years on this planet relatively alone. I mean, of course, I've been in school. I'm not like a complete shut-in, but well, that's debatable. But I've always just been alone. But ironically, the past year has made me feel more alone than I've ever felt in my entire life. Ever. And I remember talking to a friend this time last year, and I was like, man, I just wish I had more friends. I wish I had more friends. And I was just so insecure. And ironically, I have found more security within myself in the past like 7-8 months since I've decided to really cut down the team, if you will. Because of some of the things that I dealt with over the past year, I made it a goal within my personal life for 2019 to really be the year of me. And I know so many other people who have also made this decision just through people who I know personally, people who I've done birth charts for. It's like everybody was like 2018 was a shit show. 2018 showed me I didn't have boundaries. 2018 was something for everyone, just about. But I think the overall arcing lesson that all of us can take is that we need to look out for ourselves. And because I was so invested in things outside of me, I completely lost a little bit of the sense of myself because I forgot what it was like to be alone. Even in all of the experience I've had, I noticed that as I'm coming back to terms with getting back to me, I was having a really hard, I've been having a hard time kind of figuring out what me is, because I've vested so much of myself into others, into relationships, into things outside of me. I've now had to come to terms with realigning myself with what it means to be alone. So a part of this lesson in loneliness has been me really questioning myself about myself. Where do my values lie? Do I value myself? What do I like to do? What interests me? I'm a person who easily soaks into the environments that I place myself in. Too much sometimes. And because I was focused on so many things outside of myself, I was leaving a piece of me within every environment that I came into contact with and never calling it back to me. It's like there's, you know, in craft, there's something we do where we call our powers back to ourselves. And this is a ritual that I practice very often because I have lost so much power. Having dealt and just given up so freely and been boundless with the power that I have, I had to learn that maybe being alone is not so bad. I think we are taught, especially as women, especially as Black women, but women in general are taught, you can't be alone and you should fear it, or you should be judged by it, or you should, like, there's something wrong with you for choosing you. I mean, the whole kind of feminine archetype is of others, right? We have a womb where we literally house others to come out into the world. We are always pushing out and we are rarely going in. And the only time we're allowed to go in are when there's rare pockets of maybe you find the right person, maybe you find the right group, maybe you have a therapist. But some of us don't have those luxuries to always be able to depend on others. Sometimes we have to learn how to be alone and how to sit with those feelings that do not feel good. Because as much incredible learning and growth spiritually as I have encountered thus far on this alone journey, I have had to sit with myself in a way that I've never done before. Really examining myself. What about me? It's like, I feel like that was kind of my scream all last year. What about me? What about me? What about me? And the reason that the scream was never answered to was because it was echoing in the cave that is my life. I'm the only one who could hear me because I was the only one trying to hear me and needing to hear me. There's nothing wrong for it with me wanting to spend this time alone. That's something that I have to, that I'm still working on. There's nothing wrong with me being alone. I've always held a certain level of resentment towards myself for never trying to be with another person and always allowing myself to be alone. But the more time I've spent with the intention on being alone, the more aware I have become of myself. You know, it's like
life is funny because it's like, you know, from 18 to 20, I feel like personally I go through kind of spans of 2 to 3 year gaps of when I'm on the same shit. And like, so for me, it's like 18 to 20, I couldn't get away from my friends. I wanted to be up their asses all the time. 20 to 22, let's go out, let's get shit faced. I want to fucking turn up, like, you know. And then 22 to 25 is here, and not even 22 to 24 came, and I was like in everyone's face. Even half of 25, I'll give half of 25, I was in everyone's face, everyone's business, nothing to do with myself. And here I am literally on the cusp of 26, and I'm like, where am I? Who am I? How can I go about picking up the pieces of myself that I have left scattered all over everything and everyone and everywhere so I can come back to being whole alone? The interesting thing about being by myself has been learning how to give myself space and also being firm in the space that I allow myself to hold for myself. Like recently, I decided Sundays, I'm not going out. So I recently decided that Sunday is my self-care day, and I refuse to leave my house on a Sunday if it means that I don't do everything that makes me feel good. The only reason I leave my house on Sundays is to go to the beach, because that's how I like to plan my week out, is near the ocean. But outside of that, doing things with other people, being in the mix, I'm not doing the mixy Sunday thing. I might though go to Migos and Margaritas later this month, but you know, God's working on me. But in all seriousness, I have to give myself that space, because you know what my Sundays used to consist of? Going to church that I didn't want to go to as a child. Me removing my boundaries from that young. Going out and drinking with my friends on Sundays when maybe I didn't really feel like it. Going to brunch that I couldn't afford when I knew I couldn't afford it just because I wanted to do it and I didn't want to feel broke. It's made me examine what are some of the things I like. What do I like? Not what do me and my friends like. Not what do, you know, I mean, like I said, when I get into relationships with people, my friendships, I completely lose my boundaries, and I am all about like, oh my gosh, what do you want to do? How can I be like, I'm down for whatever. I've had to sit back and say, hey, what do I want to hear? What do I, literally even down to music, where do I want to go? I traveled alone. I've traveled alone now. By myself, I've learned, hey, these are some things I prefer when I travel. This is how I prefer to travel. Figuring out, what do I want to do? You know, it's like even with this, my herbalism, I knew that I wanted to study herbalism, but for a while I was kind of retracting from it because it wasn't the path that my friends wanted to go down. Being alone brought me back to the love that I have for herbs and the genuine interest that I hold for herbalism. It's kind of like I've come to the point, it's like, you know, it's almost like a gym thing. Like you start going back to the gym, right? You want a gym buddy. You and your friend, you're going to the gym. You guys are in, and then suddenly your friend can't make it to the gym and now you are going less. It's like the gym theory. Being alone forces me out of the gym theory. Being alone teaches me that, hey, yeah, we can go to the gym together, but if you don't come, I'm going to be in the gym. I'm still going. I get to check in with myself by being alone. I, as I've said here before, am an empath. I pick up on feelings like no other. Sometimes, And a lot of the time, and I'm really working on this, is not picking up on the feelings and emotions of those around me. Because I can allow the emotions of others to impact me in such a state that I no longer am a shell of who I was literally an hour or two before. So I have to guard myself. I have to say, hey, Shantae, I have to set an intention back to last week's podcast, 2 weeks ago podcast. I have to set the intention when I know, because I know I'm alone, I have to be vigilant about my energy. I'm alone too often to not know what the fuck is going on with me. And I was with others too often to know what the fuck was going on with me. So as I've sat and I found ways to be alone, and I'm finding ways to be alone because I don't have all the answers still. I still have my days where being alone really fucking bothers me or makes me really sad. Right now, my loneliness really exists on a romantic level. Particularly, never mind, I'm not even gonna say that one. But I am learning my boundaries. That's my number one being alone rule. You have to be alone because you have to be in tune with you. So often we just are, I mean, we're constantly being heavily inundated with information and people and pictures and everything all the time. We're living in Pandora's box. Right now, there is no filter. And we are forgetting what it's like to really be alone. Be so alone to the point to that you can put your phone away and go off for a few hours. When's the last time you've done that? Can you stay off of social media for a few days at a time? Can you travel alone? Are you a person who feels like whenever you leave your house, you need to have another person by your side? Being alone will show you how often you go out of your way to not be alone. How often you go out of your way to fill up the space with other people, places, things, events, because you are so uncomfortable in what it means to be by yourself. To sit alone when you don't have nothing, don't have nobody to be with you. Whew. That's a different kind of energy. Learn to sit with that energy. Learning that, hey, maybe I am not such an agreeable person. Maybe I don't have such good boundaries. You break down, you get real, real with yourself when it's just you and you. Literally. You get real, real with you when it's just you and you. That man in the mirror shit is not a joke. You have to sit with the man in the mirror. You have to become comfortable with the man in the mirror. Because I know many of you who are listening to this are in your 20s. Many of you who are listening to this could be, well, out of your 20s, but the message and the theme is the same. Can you be alone? Are you okay when you are alone? Or how do you distract yourself when you're alone? What do you find yourself doing when you are by yourself? Where do your thoughts direct you to when you're by yourself? Because that's a big one for me. What am I thinking about when I'm alone? Am I thinking about my past or am I being present? Man, that being alone, it hits really different on the precipice of 26. I'm over here like really going over me with a fine tooth comb right now. And some days I'm completely satisfied with what I present myself as. And other days I am in awe of the destruction that I have left in my wake. So I just wanted to give you guys a word on being alone. I asked you guys to bring and send me questions, but only one person did. So we're going to talk about astrology once I'm done with this little wrap up here. But I encourage all of you to take the time to be alone. If you haven't already, if you're not a person, just start writing. I literally have a composition notebook that I scrabbled in a Sharpie pen brain on. And all I do, I carry this notebook with me. And whenever my head feels like it's too jumbled up, even when I'm alone and even when I'm in a group of people, I instantly revert to my notebook and it's my safe space. If you feel that's a great tool, if you feel like you're alone and you feel maybe like the feelings you have, the thoughts you have, you cannot express with others in any way, create a notebook that can be just your safe space. Because it's your notebook. Get a lock on it if you need to. Put it in your safety deposit box, whatever the fuck. But allow yourself to be safe with yourself. That sets a great boundary that you are always safe with you, that your thoughts are safe with you, that your feelings are safe with you. Because that journal is yours. That journal is a piece of you. So, as I said before here, I believe, I am definitely an astrology believer. I've been studying for about 6 years, and I just recently decided to start offering up my services. I am currently taking natal chart readings at this time. Email shantaeisloud@gmail.com. I asked on my Instagram and Twitter account if anyone had any questions they would have liked answered on the episode, and I actually only got one inquiry. So my boo, PSSSS9, I am going to answer your questions about Aries. First of all, I want to start by saying that I love Aries because Aries is fire, and I'm obsessed with fire. I like a good fire sign. Aries is a cardinal sign. Aries is the first sign of the zodiac. Aries is here. It is loud. It is in your face. Aries does not give a fuck. Aries is a boss. They're a leader. They do. Sometimes, most times, before they think, they do. When we look at the Aries archetype, we often are confronted with the baby or the child. Because Aries is being the first zodiac sign, they are headstrong. I mean, literally, think about it as a baby comes out of its mother head first. It is all about impact. It is a sign that values movement. Action. It's ruled by the planet Mars. When we look at the planet Mars, we see it's a fast-moving planet. It is all about action. It's red. Like, you know, all of the things we associate high demand and power with, we associate with Mars. Mars is also the ruler of Scorpio. Please stop saying the ruler of Scorpio is Pluto, but this is not a question about Scorpio. Next. Anyway. You asked about compatibility with Aries. So the thing is, and here's an important thing about astrology for those of you who are still listening. When it comes to compatibility, it is so much bigger than just your sun sign. When we're talking about compatibility, we're talking about your first house. We're talking about your fourth house. We're talking about your seventh house. And we're talking about your 11th house, your 12th house. Like, it's much bigger than just, oh, my birthday is April 2nd, I'm an Aries. It has to do with your Venus sign. It has to do with your Mars sign. Where are these placements at? Now, when it comes to love, Aries in general takes on everything with high energy. This is also a sign that is represented as the warrior. This is, I mean, you know, the war god of Eris, right? I don't know if that's right. I wanted to sound fancy. But this is a warrior archetype. What do warriors do? They set out to win wars. They go to battle. They live themselves in a state of constant training to be ready to fight. This is often how Aries energies approach their relationships. Like, one of my friends is an Aries moon, and I love him, but I want to strangle the shit out of him because he's the biggest fucking baby. I hope he hears this because he's going to be annoyed. But he's the biggest baby. But he's so like, I need it right now. And I can understand that energy. And it's probably why we're such good friends. He has moon in Aries. I have Venus in Aries. So as my friend, we both have that like, oh, you want to do it? Yeah, let's go right now. Like when we want to go out and drink or we want to go out and tear this town apart. That's our energy together. But that can also be detrimental. Yes, Aries is fun and exciting and is willing to put in the work, but they are willing to go sometimes a little bit too hard to win whatever it is that they seek. I usually see Aries, if we're talking about work environment and relationship environment, Aries is wants to be first. They want to be number one. And unfortunately, because Aries is the first zodiac sign, they don't have the signs, not like the 12th house, the sign preceding, which is Pisces, of all of the information of knowing what to do. Aries is the first, right? If you're the first kid in your house, you don't have an older brother to tell you not to leave your chapstick in your pockets, you know, or whatever kind of weird chore your parent might demand. You are the first kid. Your parents are new to raising you. They had no clue what they were doing. They're winging it, right? And that's a lot of Aries. Now, Aries is very directive, and if they know exactly what they want and have a good balance, they can be really sure and collect their aims. I mean, generally, Aries, because they are the first, do things the first within their families, within their communities, within their environments. But there is a need to slow down. Aries is a very physical sign, so they are quite literally willing to climb to the top till the very last breath. Now, the problem with that is Aries sometimes doesn't really care about who they affect as long as they get their way. This applies to relationships as well. I can speak for myself. This Venus in Aries, I am very, very much dedicated to the chase, whether I be the one running or the one chasing. I do not like to lose my men unless I take them out myself. Now, that's that on that. Thank you guys for listening. I'm sorry if this episode got a little jumpy and for all the little weird pauses because I had to move environments a couple times, but you know, God got me and we're here. Please feel free to like, share, subscribe, comment. I need all of it. I hope you guys have a great 2 weeks, and I'll be back in 2 weeks to tell you more of what I'm doing, and I hope you'll enjoy.